something's going on with the all-new Kevin 2012. I don't know. This may be the best model of Kevin yet.
Come on now.
And there have been some classic Kevins throughout the years. You remember Kevin 96 was a great model, if you remember that one, Lisa.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin was on fire in 96. And then 2001, 2002, he had back-to-back championships. But 2012 is shaping up to the best year ever for our man Kevin. And by this, I mean he is generating moments with, which is kind of our tribute to meltdowns here on the Kevin and Bean Show, at an alarming rate. I mean, we are less than 3 weeks into the new year. And when you, you know, factor in Martin Luther King Day and weekends, Kevin, I mean, I don't even know how many moments with you're putting up per days that we're actually on the air. But you're on pace. I mean, this is a Barry Bonds year
for
you.
No, that's not the case. Because what I'm doing is I'm loading up early in the year. And that way, for the rest of the year, then I don't have to worry about it.
Listeners are already worried, though, and I got an email just like this yesterday, I don't have it in front of me, that you are going to dominate the top 10 moments with at the end of the year. They're like, hey, Kevin, step away from the microphone, okay. Give Lisa a chance, let Bean have one. Because so far it's been all monkey.
Right.
Right near the end of the show yesterday, we're in the home stretch, Kevin's gone an entire day without a moment with, and this magic dropped on us.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Congratulations to Garrett DeJong of
Fountain Valley.
Fountain Valley, thank you. Just got the CD catalog from Green Day and qualified for that trip for two to see
Blake
them.
182.
What did I say?
Green Day.
That was a moment with Kevin.
So Bean wasn't even supposed to be a part of that.
Nope.
No, that was all you.
He said, why don't you just go ahead and congratulate the winner? So I said, okay, fine. So basically my job was to congratulate the winner, and then Bean was going to talk about something else. So that's why he's like, Fountain Valley, Blink 182.
Well, you had...
like when you were at the Grammys.
Totally. But you had about six words that you had to say, which is just the winner's name, the city, and what he won. That was about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, hey, Kevin, talk for 60 seconds about the assassination of Archbishop Franz Ferdinand. It wasn't one of those. It was just read what's on the card. And it was so spectacular. I loved it so much.
It was, and this is the point that scares me. It was written down right in front of me. So it's not like I'm trying to remember the info. So how does that happen?
How does that? No, we're asking you. How does that happen?
I'm asking
don't
you.
Don't ask us.
I don't know. I have no answer.
Well, look, Fountain Valley, very difficult word.
Yes.
Tough to get your head around.
I think what happened in that case is I can usually read my own writing better than, you know, somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have much time, so I was scribbling really quickly. And when I got to Fountain, I couldn't figure out what word it was. I couldn't read my own writing. So that probably didn't help much.
Where did Green Day come from?
How am I supposed to know?
We haven't been giving away a Green Day prize for a couple of months now. Why was that on the tip of your tongue?
I have no answer for that. Fountain Valley was my writing that I couldn't read. Green Day, it just doesn't even make sense.
Now, this is on the heels of a moment with from a few days ago. Again, Kevin 2012, getting it done. If you missed this one, I think you'll enjoy it.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
It's not a hard one, but it is the way you heard it.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Now, let's see what that one could have tried to be. What was meant by that?
I can't even remember the context.
I think it was a contest that we were doing. We were like, people were trying to identify something played backwards or something like that. But I still can't figure out what you're trying to tell that person that would be useful.
I can't either.
Then we were on with the president, Dana White from UFC, and Kevin was excited about the potential of the UFC fights being presented in 3D. Dana, not as much of a 3D fan, but while they were on the topic, Kevin, I think, had some advice for everybody who's interested in watching stuff that way.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
By the way, just for the movie theaters, there's not one size that fits all.
Yeah.
That was a moment with Kevin.
At least, and again, I apologize for stepping in.
You jumped in, but I would like to suggest that I was getting it at that moment.
You actually did have it.
So I actually finally get it, but so at least you knew what I was talking about as compared to the last one where I can't even make sense of it myself.
No one to this day knows.
Right.
Now, you're not waking up after a coma. It's not the end of 2012 yet. We're looking back on the best 10 moments with. This is all from the first 3 weeks of the year.
Come on.
Kevin has been on fire, and there are two kinds of moments with. There are the ones where the words get all screwed up and you can't finish the sentence. And then there are just the complete and total brain farts. And I think this is more sort of that thing. And also not paying attention either. And I think that that played very much into play with this one.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
By the way, nothing good has ever happened at 4:30 in the morning.
But a lot of good has. It's not, I mean, a lot of good happens.
What just happened?
I'm saying a lot of good happens at 4:30 in the morning. It's just this
he's
is.
Saying nothing
but you're
good.
You said nothing.
You
good.
Said that to, right. her, to his statement that nothing good.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That one I can explain.
Can you?
Yeah. What happened at 4:30 in the morning, or whatever he was talking about, was bad.
Uh-huh.
Was bad.
Right. Yes.
But
right.
that doesn't mean that, you know, there aren't good things that happen there at 4:30 in the morning as well.
But I think that's what Ralph's conclusion was based on the story. And this was
nothing,
Jeremy Renner getting knifed in a bar fight in Thailand. And, and he was saying nothing good ever happens at 4:30. Don't be out at 4:30. You were disagreeing with him.
I'm not saying that I'm made sense in that situation, but I am saying that there are also good things that happen. Nothing that happens is a bit of an exaggeration because there are also a lot of good things. However, having said that, it was clear I wasn't listening to Ralph at all.
Right.
No.
When he said nothing good happens, clearly that just went in one ear and out the other.
You know, if you keep on pace with this.
I'm not going to keep on pace with
this. I think at the end of the year, a lifetime achievement award may be in your.
Kevin's already in the Hall of Fame. I don't know how to honor a man any more than that.
I'm the only one in the Hall of Fame.
Except maybe you'll be the best person in the Hall of Fame of all time ever. But I'm telling you, here's my advice to you kids. We're only in January here. Don't miss a single sweet day of the Kevin DeBeach Show, because this is history in the making.
All right.
Well done.
Glad to be a part of it.
All right. Here's a story we talked about yesterday. Now we want to hear when it has happened to you, and we're talking about butt dialing, ladies and gentlemen. That seems to be the term when your phone accidentally calls someone. You're not intending to dial anyone's number, but you hit a number. Usually it's something you've got saved in your phone, and you call them up, and it's not on purpose, and sometimes it gets you in a lot of trouble.
Just look at that butt. That is a tight butt.
And tight pants. And then all of a sudden somebody's listening to your entire conversation.
Exactly. Doesn't necessarily mean that your phone has to be in your back pocket. It can be in your front pocket. It can be in your purse. If you're a lady, it can be anywhere, but you accidentally dial. You roll over on it in bed, for instance. Maybe that's what happened.
My wife purse dialed me, I don't know how, probably 25 times within 3 to 4 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
I finally just turned off my phone. She had no idea. First, of course, you're listening. What's she saying about me? I wonder if she's having sex with somebody else. What's happening? And then you can't hear anything, so then you get frustrated. You hang up, and it's just like, she doesn't have any idea. This could go on all day.
Well, here's why it's back in the news. Michael Gorno is his name. He is a man in Connecticut who was trying to steal metal from a local business. His phone accidentally dialed. It was in his pants. He was crawling under a chain link fence to get into the yard where he was going to steal 700 pounds of scrap metal. Well, when the 911 happens to be the number that's dialed on his phone, and by the way, as we asked yesterday, who puts 911 in a speed dial?
Yeah, because it's only two more button pushes.
Yeah,
it's speed dial you can press once.
Outside of calling the operator, it's the shortest phone number you can dial, right?
Yeah.
So his phone calls 911. Of course, he doesn't intentionally dial. He's, you know, crawling around in the dirt, so he doesn't know he's made this call. And, of course, on the other end, they go, uh-oh, this sounds like a distress call. Somebody's in danger. We better send the police out. So they use the GPS to find his cell phone. And sure enough, as he is loading up his truck with all this scrap metal, the police arrive and go, somebody called 911.
He's like, what? I didn't. What are you talking about? Who?
Oh, that's the best. How much must he have hated himself when he found out it was him?
Sir, the phone was coming from your butt.
So he probably would have gotten away with it if it had not been from his phone. He's been charged with trespassing and larceny. He's out on a $5,000 bond and is scheduled to appear in court next week. So we're looking for butt dialing stories. Has it happened to you? 1-800-520-1067. You want to take Sam real quick before the break?
Yeah, let's start with Sam. Hey, Sam.
Hi.
Hi there. Oh, Sam's a female. All right. Tell us about your butt dialing.
I was 17 at my cousin's bachelorette party, and my cousins are pretty crazy, so they got me really drunk, and I accidentally butt dialed my uncle as I was puking all night.
Oh, that was fun for everyone.
I'll bet your uncle loved that.
He played it for my entire family.
Yes! I love your uncle.
You had some splaining to do that night, didn't you?
Yeah, my mom knew my family was crazy, though, and that I was safe, so she just laughed.
17. That's so funny, though, because I imagine that he got the whole family around. All right, everybody, I got something to share with you. And then your face just went red. I love it.
Thank you for calling, Sam. Thank you for listening. 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. You can either dial us or have your butt do it. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean. Talking about when your phone has a mind of its own, it butt dials someone you don't intend to, like this caller, emailer, I should say, called in sick to work, went to a Dodger game. My phone called my boss, and he heard me drunk yelling, "Go Dodgers."
Oh, no.
It was not a good day when I returned. I had no idea that I had called him, so I ended up lying and saying that I had been really sick with the flu. Well, I now have a new job and a keypad lock on my phone. So that's what can happen with butt dialing.
Man.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Oh, did we lose Max? Is he gone?
He's gone.
Let's try Liz. Max, please call back. We want to talk to you on the air, dude. Let's talk to Liz now. She's on line 6 joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Liz. Thanks for hanging on. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What did your butt dial and what was someone listening to? Okay.
So my 17-year-old, I was 17. My husband now was 18. And we were having sex. And we actually called his mother. And his mother stayed on the phone for 30 minutes trying to figure out what was going on.
What?
He was supposed to be on his way to college. So she thought that he was just hanging out at my house. And we were freaking out. We were like, oh, my God, did we leave a message? Did she figure it out? We're in so much trouble. Turns out she spoke to her husband. She put him on the line, too. And they thought he was just at my house hanging out.
What the hell kind of sex are you having?
They had, and you know, the funny thing is that day we were having intense, and she did not realize it.
Wow.
So you are great. So lucky.
You are lucky.
That's so funny because we were having sex.
I mean.
that's among the worst things that can happen when your phone decides to dial somebody, I guess. Unless you're with, you know, you're having sex with somebody else and your spouse is listening.
Yeah,
I guess that would even be worse.
Speaking of calling parents, let's talk to Sean. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Good, thanks. You're butt dialed who?
I butt dialed my mother when I was scoring marijuana from a dealer.
You're getting weed, and your mom was listening.
Yeah, actually, it went to her voicemail. So,
I see.
When she listened to her message, she had a pleasant surprise, and she decided to play it for my wife.
So she played it for your wife, and it went,
"Does anybody have any drugs? I'm looking to score some drugs."
Oh, yeah, they got everything. They got me taking bong hits and all that.
That's it.
You're a dumbass.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah,
you for the
yeah.
call. Andrew writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, "My dad butt dialed my stepmom while on a roller coaster. She answered, heard my dad screaming for his life and thought he was being brutally murdered or something. Scared the hell out of her. Only afterwards did she realize it was a roller coaster."
Sweet.
That's hilarious timing. It's so funny how many times the butt dialing happens at the exact wrong second. Like, it doesn't just butt dial when you're walking down
right.
the street doing nothing. It only does it when you're doing something crazy.
Speaking of which, let's talk to Christine. Hi, Christine.
Hello.
You're butt dialed who and during what?
It wasn't me, actually. I was waiting for my husband to get home from a coworker's birthday party, and I got a phone call, and I heard a lot of rustling around, and I thought, oh, my gosh, he's in a car accident, and I kept saying his name, and then I heard another woman saying his name, and I was like,
so
freaked out, and that was the beginning of the end of our marriage.
I would say that was the beginning, middle, and end of your marriage, probably. So you heard him having sex with another woman while he was supposed to be at a coworker's party.
Yeah, I heard her saying his name, although he denied it was sex, but it
sure.
did not sound that way.
Did it sound like she was having more fun than you ever had with him? You're like, hey, if you can perform like that for her.
Yeah,
thank you very much for the call, Christine. We appreciate it. Let's take Robert. Robert is on line 4 joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Robert, what's going on?
Hang on. We got to wait for them to put Robert on hold.
What's happening?
They're
Come
not
on.
Putting There we go. All right. Hey, Robert.
Hey.
What happened?
Good morning. I install cable, and I have a cheap phone that they give us for work.
Right.
And I'm always, whether it's crawling underneath the house, if a lot of buttons get pressed, it dials 911.
Oh,
and
sweet.
So it happens about 10 times to me, and what they usually do is call you back, make sure you're all right, but I always don't answer my phone.
Ah, then they have to send somebody out by law, don't they?
So they have to. And so the customer freaks out when cops show up at their house. They're like, we got an emergency call, and no one knows it's me because I'm in an attic. And so
do you hide? Do you hide not say anything? That'd be awesome. All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's talk to a 911 operator. How about that?
I bet this happens all the time, right?
Mark.
Yes.
You're a 911 operator.
I was a 911 operator for a number of years in Ohio.
All right. What's the deal? 911 gets called even if a phone is locked, right? Like, that's the only number they can dial even if your phone is, like, closed down, right?
Not only if it's closed or locked, but also if it's disconnected, like if there's no service to the phone and it has a charge to it, you can still dial 911.
Really? Wow. You must have gotten a lot of these.
Yeah. We used to joke about if we had a nickel for each one we got, we'd probably be millionaires and be able to retire.
Sure.
Wow. Now, did anyone ever call you? Like, the story that we led off this conversation with was a guy in the middle of committing a crime. He was trying to steal metal from a factory. Did anything like that ever happen to you?
Had a guy actually, the buyer of a heroin deal, butt dialed while he was trying to get his fix.
Sweet!
He asked him and caught the guy with a number of already weighed out baggies of heroin and the guy that was buying the heroin, and it was a pretty successful day for them.
Does anybody have any drugs? I'm looking to score some drugs.
They called 911 during a heroin deal.
So in a situation like that, you probably don't say anything to the person. You just use your little GPS and alert the authorities and send the police over, right?
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny because when you're doing it, you know, a butt dial, the second it comes in, you still have to try to find them and do the whole GPS negotiating the hit and everything.
Right.
But you know as soon as you hear it, because it sounds kind of like somebody, like, rubbing a piece of paper against the speaker of the phone.
Yeah, because they're not talking into the phone.
Right. So it's muffled and all
right.
that.
So yeah. As soon as you hear it, you know what it is. But when I heard the people talking in the background, I was like, oh, it's on.
Sweet. Love it. All right.
That's fantastic.
Oops, sorry.
Let's close with Sam. Oh, Sam has decided he didn't want to talk
no,
to us after
didn't.
All.
No, he didn't. That was a Kevin mistake.
Oh.
That was me hitting the wrong button. So,
his wife heard a drive-by shooting when he butt-dialed her. How about that? That would have been an exciting story to hear.
Yeah, it would have if I hadn't hung up. He butt-dialed her just before the shooting, so she heard the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
She was listening. It was muffled, and then there were shots fired.
Oh, wow.
How crazy is that? I wish I wouldn't have hung up on him.
Yeah, that would have been great.
That would have been a good story.
Let's turn our attention to a show none of us watch, but it's still enormously popular. It is called Glee, and it airs Tuesday nights on Fox. You know, every once in a while, of course, they do lots of different sorts of songs, everything from Broadway right to, you know, top 40 hits of today. But every once in a while, they'll do an episode surrounded by just one artist's music. They did a Gaga episode, if I recall. They did a Madonna episode. And tonight, the long-awaited Michael Jackson episode on Glee.
Michael Jackson episode.
Yeah.
Seems like he's got plenty of songs to choose from.
Plenty of songs, yeah.
About 40 years of hits to pick from. But, you know, it seems like it'd be I would imagine it would be a tremendous boon to the estate. I mean, don't those Glee records just sell like crazy every week?
Oh,
I think they do. Yeah, on iTunes, I do. I think they do a lot. Yeah, they put out the music ahead of time even.
So once again, Michael Jackson's going to be making more money dead than he made when he was alive in the last few years. But we wanted to find out, you know, is this as much of an honor as we think it is? We're going to fire up the hotline to heaven, get MJ back on the show here on the Kevin and Bean program. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Damn.
Happy New Year, man. We haven't talked to you this year. What's going on?
Happy New Year to you, too, by the way. And Nicely done.
See? Michael Jackson is dead, and he's willing to take the extra effort. Kevin, you're not. How about that? So, Michael, congratulations on the Glee tonight. That's a big deal. I guess they're doing about 10 of your songs or something.
Yeah, I guess.
What do you mean, I guess? Is not a good thing?
I'm not a big fan of Glee.
Oh.
I would think you would love it. It's all young people singing and dancing. Some of them really young.
I like my young people doing something else. I don't like
Michael. Really?
But you appreciate
playing on the playground or just enjoying their childhood. It's hard for me to watch young people singing and dancing because I lost so much of my childhood.
I see.
Oh, I see.
Like that in front of an audience. And I think if I had to do it all over again, I would rather have a regular childhood.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I understand where you came from.
Plus,
obviously,
there's no little kids on there. Like little.
Oh, Michael.
Mike, stop that with this little kid
these
thing.
These are teenagers, Steph. Yeah, I mean, you were a performing
old.
Teenager.
Don't they have any younger brothers or sisters or cousins or something? I want to see Glee the elementary school year.
I don't think anyone wants to see that. We're not comfortable with that.
I don't like that noise either, Michael.
Now, what do you think about the songs that they chose, like Human Nature and Scream, Black and White?
I had a song called Scream.
I Just Can't Stop Loving You. Yes, you did, with your sister.
I don't remember Scream.
With your sister, Rebe. Or whatever her name is.
It was Janet.
Janet.
It was Janet. Remember that was the crazy, like, outer space video? The kind of the one with you screaming at each other in a spaceship?
Not ringing a bell.
It existed.
For LaToya?
No, it was just Janet. I think it went to number five, if I recall.
Bean's right. You're on the spaceship yelling at each other. You both had, I don't know what was going on.
Sure, it wasn't Bubbles.
No, it was you. Look, it's your song. You wrote it, Michael.
Yeah, I wrote a lot of songs.
Right.
I spent a lot of time in my songwriting tree.
Yes, sure. You did. That's where you used to write, yes.
Songs. I can't be expected to remember them all.
We just thought you would if anyone did. That's all.
They do Black or White on the episode tonight. Very popular song of yours.
I hope Baby Precious does that one. Is she doing Fat? Because I'm fat!
That's a Weird
Al. Jump on it!
That's a Weird Al cover.
Yeah. She is fat, that girl.
Yeah, your song was bad. They are doing bad, but
jam
no Fat.
Jam on! Jam on toast every 5 minutes. That girl, she is huge.
She is rather large.
Yeah. Doing Fat Coach Beast is not my lover.
I don't think
that with Coach Beast, that giant woman.
No.
She-Man, whatever it is.
I don't know what she is.
I don't think they're doing Billy Jean.
How about the cripple kid? Is he doing any of my songs?
I believe he is.
I think Artie is singing on a couple of them.
He's my favorite, the crippled one.
Why? Why do you like the kid in the wheelchair?
I like kids who can't get away too fast.
Oh, Michael. Even Lisa is horrified now.
It comes in handy.
Come on.
And by handy, I mean.
Yes, we know what that means.
All right. I think I've had just about enough of this. All right. Thank you, Michael. You shouldn't watch the show tonight.
That girl is so fast.
She is.
ROQ, what just happened there? Did that
weird.
Just fade in?
Yeah, you were gone. That's weird.
That was not me, everyone. That was actually not a mistake that I made.
You're listening
rare.
To the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Dr. Drew joins us coming up here on the program. I don't know anything about anything, and I think we all know that. We all agree with that. I'm clueless when it comes to many things. But how do you go into labor, ladies, and not know that you're pregnant? How does that happen? Aren't there some things that happen to your body? I don't know, like you start growing a baby in your belly?
Is that?
That would be a tip that you are with child?
It's got to be a lot of other changes as well.
I'm so puzzled by this. But I've never been pregnant. But I think it's different for every woman. And for some women, they know immediately that they're pregnant. Other women don't have symptoms.
There's the TLC show. I didn't know I was pregnant. And everybody is fascinated by that. And you watch it and you think the same thing every single time, which is, how is it possible you don't know?
I don't want to get into any body fluid details here. But
yes,
doesn't that happen?
Well,
some people it doesn't.
Some people are off spotty that way anyway.
Okay. Hey. Well, here's the story. This is why we bring it up. Girls are icky, right, Dave?
Yep.
Here's why we're bringing this up. A woman in Kentucky unexpectedly gave birth to a full-term baby boy in her bathroom on December 30th. She had no clue she was carrying the child. Leanne Mowry said she had taken several pregnancy tests, but they had all come back negative. What's that about?
I don't know, but don't you worry. If you're 9 months pregnant, don't you worry about other things that are going on, including the size of your stomach? Don't you go to a doctor?
Like, don't I have a tumor or what's happening, right? Here's my favorite part of the story. Mowry had often watched TLC's I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant and was critical of the idea that it was even possible for a woman to not know that she was pregnant. So she was one of the women who was making fun of other people for being in this situation. And then it happened to her. What are the chances? Apparently, it is very common. Last year, an Oregon mother reported to the hospital after she thought her appendix had burst. And then she found out that she was in labor. She thought the doctors were joking. That's how she found out. I mean, imagine what that would do to your head to find out I am about to give birth to a baby that I have in no way prepared for or even thought about. Now, we want to take some calls from you if this has happened in your family, preferably if it's happened to you. But if it's happened to your wife, girlfriend, or someone you know, someone in your family, call us. Tell us about this. What is this like at 1-800-520-1067.
Just before Dave tells a story about you being in the hospital and seeing one of these people, there was a study done, and it says 1 in 475 pregnant women are unaware that they're pregnant until halfway through.
That's a huge amount.
1 in 475.
That's a lot. So Dave is in here in studio because a few years ago, when I had a tube in my eye,
I don't remember why.
Long story, don't ask.
But it popped out, and the guys were freaked out by it because I had this piece of plastic coming out of my eye. And they said, you've got to go to the emergency room. You have to do something. Actually, all you really have to do is just leave the room so we don't have to look at it.
Yes.
So Dave drove me to a nearby emergency room. And what happened, Dave, while we were in there that day that relates to this?
Well, we were talking, and we hear this family arguing, and this girl's in pain, and she says, I guess they told her that she's having a baby. And she goes, Mom, I didn't know. I didn't know. And she was pregnant, and she was there about to give birth.
She was about to give birth and said she really
didn't know. She was about 17.
And the mom was screaming at her, like, how can you keep this from me?
Yeah, how can you keep this from us?
Okay, when you saw her, what did she look like? Did she look like a pregnant person?
Not at all. She looked like this little thin girl with a little...
Because I was going to ask about weight, too.
Yeah, it looked like she had, like, a little fupa, but, you know, other than that...
Wow.
It was just like a little belly, like, you know...
Now, that's interesting. Kevin brings up a good point, because my thought, and I don't watch this TLC show, is that a lot of women would notice if they started gaining that much weight, if they were pregnant. But if you're 300 pounds or something like that, maybe you just chalk it up to, I'm just getting a little bit fatter. Yeah. Interesting. Wow. So we saw that check in person.
Yeah.
Did you pull the curtain and go, are you kidding me?
This was in the waiting room.
Oh, man.
All right, Christina, you hang on. We are going to get to you first. Please don't go away. We're looking for your calls, too. If this has happened to you or someone you know, what is this like? You didn't know you were pregnant. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on the Kevin.
The Black Keys on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 842.
Read the Black Keys cover story in the new Rolling Stone magazine, either at the newsstand or online, where they talk about how the world has ended now. Rock and roll is dead if we're going to accept Nickelback as being popular.
And Nickelback sells way more than the Black Keys
do. They sure do. It's very, very funny. All right. You're listening to the Kevin Amin Show. Dr. Drew in minutes. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Let's go to Christina first. What we're talking about is this latest story of a woman in Kentucky who went into labor, had no idea she was pregnant. How does that happen? Christina, this happened to your best friend?
Yes, it did. Good morning, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Now, I think part of what we're fascinated with is month 7, 8, and 9. Seems like things would be getting extreme, and then leading up to having the baby, you know, the moment of having the baby. She didn't know a week before?
No. She was young. She was 18. So some of it might have been a little bit of denial. Like Lisa was talking about, she was never really regular with her cycle.
Right.
So when it kind of came here and there, she didn't think anything of it. She was really tiny, like a size 0, size 1,
wow,
really good shape. They think her abdominal muscles were strong enough that it kind of held everything in.
Wow.
At the very end, she was getting this tiny little pooch, like way down low, hardly anything noticeable. And one morning, she thought she was just having a really bad backache and the lower back pain and kind of cramping in her back, so she thought maybe she was going to get her period. She got in the bathtub with hot water, and all of a sudden, she had her baby in the bathtub.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine, like, one second
the
you think...
The easiest pregnancy and birth ever.
But one second you think, backache, man, my back hurts. Next second, you have a brand new baby, and like...
That was total shock.
Did she call 911?
Yeah, she did.
And when did you talk to her? Did you talk to her that day?
Her brother called me that evening to tell me, hey, you know, Shelly's in the hospital. She just had a baby. And I was like, what?
Oh, my awesome. God.
And you had spent tons of time with her like you did and had no inclination whatsoever. There wasn't any tip for you at all that she was pregnant.
No.
That's amazing.
They estimated the baby was probably about 4 weeks early.
Right.
But he was still a decent size, kind of normal baby, no health problems, nothing, and she had
wow,
no idea.
That's amazing. With no prenatal care, by the way. Did she
no.
Did she end up keeping the baby?
Yeah, she did, and he's 21 years old now.
The baby came out with a six-pack, too.
Unbelievable.
Mama's in shape.
That is amazing. Christina, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it.
No problem.
1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Ethan. Ethan is an EMT, and I guess you would see this from time to time. You'd be the go-to. Ethan, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
Hey, Kevin. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I went to a call, and it was a middle-aged woman. She was complaining of, like, gas pains. So we arrived on scene. She's on the couch.
Wait, can I just back up? Can I just ask a question, Ethan? How many people call you because of gas pain?
Seriously, I am farting up a story here. You've got to come out here and help me.
I don't think I would call anyone. I think I would just sequester myself.
Yeah, we get a lot of crazy call. So this one's insane. This is like top five. Okay. So yeah, she's about 350 pounds. She's sitting on the couch complaining of gas pains. And we asked her, you know, what does she want to do? She's like, I want to go to the hospital, get checked out. I'm like, okay, let's go. Anyway, she gets up and a baby slides down her pants leg.
What?
No idea.
You mean there wasn't pregnant. Like any kind of labor that happened where she had to push? It just fell out of her?
No, it just fell out of her, man.
Oh,
and what
God.
Did she say? Oops.
Well, she had no idea she was pregnant at all. She's like, you know, I felt some sharp pains, and I was a little, you know, shortness of breath. I'm like, okay, well.
Did you say anything like, I don't know how to tell you this, but a baby just slid out.
She had no idea. Her husband was like this tiny old guy, and he had no idea.
Her husband like, had sex with a 350-pound woman. He's not allowed to complain about anything.
Oh, yeah,
my God. So now all of a sudden you're delivering a child. Now you're cutting an umbilical cord.
Exactly. I was shocked.
That's amazing.
That's great.
Thank you, Ethan. Appreciate it. All right. I know we don't have time for this, but let's talk to Maisha online, too, because it also happened to her.
Maisha?
Yes. Hi.
Girlfriend, what's going on?
Okay, so I have, like, kidney disease for 5 years. I was in dialysis and everything, so my body was completely out of whack. And one night my sister came home. She worked late, and I was just like, in excruciating pain. And I told her, something's going on with my kidney. I'm bleeding. Everything's going on. So we call my nephrologist. We call Cedars. We call everybody. Everybody's frantically waiting. We get to the ER over at Cedars, and they're setting up dialysis and everything for me. All the surgeons are there. And as the nurse is helping me out of my father's car, and I turn my legs, I stand up, and the baby pops out.
There it is.
Oh,
that's so bizarre.
At least it makes some sense in your case because you had all these health problems in the same area, which would explain the pain. At least that makes sense.
Exactly.
Tina's an OBGYN who called. I'm sorry, Tina, we don't have time for your call, but she says a lot of these girls are just in denial. They just can't admit that they are pregnant.
Maisha, did it ever occur to you during the course of that 9 months that you might be pregnant?
You know what? No. You know, my sister, no one believes me when I say that I didn't know. My sister thinks I'm a lunatic, but...
You could be a lunatic, by the way, on a side note, for other reasons.
I mean, you knew that you had had sex and that it was a possibility that you could get pregnant, but you never saw any changes in your body to suggest that a baby had taken hold.
No, because I was going to dialysis. My weight was, it didn't have any kind of signs of a belly. I was dropping weight. I didn't think of anything.
Well, the other thing, besides the shock of, hey, I have a baby, is you've made no planning mentally or physically to prepare for this baby. You have no place to put this baby, right? You don't have a room set up. You don't have a system in place to take care of a child. You got nothing.
Nothing. She was 1 pound, and
oh my God.
It was definitely an ordeal. You know, in retrospect, maybe I could have looked for some signs, but honestly, I just didn't know.
Did the doctor say,
I know where it is. It's in your butt.
How's she doing? How's she doing today? How's your little girl?
Oh, she's fine. She's 5, and
awesome.
She's great.
Great story, Maisha. You'll always have the winner story at a party. Thank you so much for calling the Kevin DeBeat Show.
Thank you.
I had a crisis going on in my home. I need some help. I need some advice. I reached out to my Twitter followers yesterday, and I got some advice back, but I think I need to hear from you people before I know how to proceed. Donna was at some supermarket down in the International District 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And went into a supermarket and decided to buy some fresh fish. So, hey, I'm going to get some fresh fish for dinner. And while she was there, she saw they had lobsters in the tank. And she said, wow, lobster. We haven't had lobster in a million years. I'm going to get me some lobster. And the only way you could buy them at this supermarket was to buy live lobsters, which we've never cooked before. We don't have lobster very often. We've never had live lobster before. So she brought them home. She put them in the fridge. And yesterday, that was Thursday or Wednesday. So yesterday she took them out of the fridge and got ready to cook them.
Are they still alive?
They're still alive.
Oh, wow.
Well, they're so cute, first of all. Who knew how cute they were? And second of all, then you're faced with, and how many times have you heard people say, hey, if people had to kill their own food, they wouldn't eat most of what they eat.
Yes.
Then you're faced with, you're the bad man who kills the lobsters. And we couldn't do it.
There's a scene in Julia where she has to put the live lobster in the pot, and she is dreading it and dreading it. And I covered my eyes. I couldn't watch it. I couldn't believe she actually did it, because I could never in a million years do that.
Do you ever eat lobster?
No.
Really? For that reason?
Yes.
How about other fish?
Well, they're not thrown into a boiling pot of water.
Yeah, but they gasp and die to death.
I don't eat a lot of fish.
They asphyxiate from not being able to breathe, right?
I don't eat a lot of fish, but I mean, look, it's more because I'm just not a big fish eater.
Right. It is. It's one of those things.
Right.
I mean, look, everybody draws the line in a different place as to what they're willing to eat and what they're willing to kill. And I eat, plenty of fish. I also eat chickens. I also eat turkeys. I don't eat any cows or any pigs or anything like that.
Yeah.
But that's because of my personal experience, because of all the years that I've owned them. I just can't. I mean, if I eat a cow at this point, it would be like eating a pet. But I hadn't come face to face with a lobster before. So Donna takes them out of the wrapper, out of the fridge, and puts them in the sink. And they're moving around and stuff. And of course, you know, they wrap their claws so that they can't hurt you. They can't, claw you or anything like that. But they crawl into a big pile on top of each other, and their little antennas are all wiggling around, and they're looking up at you. And it's like, now what?
No, I back you 100%. I couldn't do it.
So we couldn't do it. So I called a friend of mine, and I'm like, and he does a lot of fishing. Yeah. And I said, well, you know, what's the story on this? I mean, is this instant death, or is this painful? Because, you know, I couldn't imagine boiling a pot of water and then dropping my new pets into this water. Right. And he says, boiling water. Drop the lobster in, instant death.
How does he know for sure?
Well, that's another reason why that was kind of the answer I wanted to hear, because that would allow me to move forward. But on the other hand, I thought, how does he know? I mean, we'd like, of course, maybe we're just telling ourselves that it's instant death.
Yeah, they have shells and stuff.
But then I thought, now you're being scalded to death. That can't be any good, unless it's one of those deals where it's just like some super shock to your system and it just knocks you out like instantly as soon as you hit the water, if you go in, you know, face first.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was very uncomfortable with it.
By the way, I've also heard put them in the freezer and they slowly, like, they just go numb and they don't even know.
We'll see.
But I don't think you're supposed to. I think lobster is supposed to be cooked from live to boom, dead.
Right.
Or it doesn't taste right.
Beer Mug, you were very angry that we weren't able to pull the trigger on our lobsters. How come?
First of all, lobsters, not cute. Not cute.
Are you kidding me? They're adorable. They're adorable.
They have alien antennas, weird tails, and ugly claws. Second of all, delicious. It doesn't matter to me. It is instant death when you put them in.
How do you know?
Because they're not used to that temperature water. I mean, you're boiling. Water's at boiling point.
Well, you put me in. I'm not used to it either, but I'm not dying instantly.
No, you're dying a very painful, maybe a quick death, but a very painful last couple of minutes on Earth, though.
I think they seize up and it's done. It's instant.
I don't know.
He doesn't know.
Look, I mean, you could absolutely be right. You may be way more knowledgeable on this topic than I am. I doubt it, because that would be a first. But I'd like to hear from our listeners at 1-800-520-1067. If you've been in this situation before, if you've been the guy who has to drop the lobsters into the boiling water, what do you know about it? And the other two options that give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. Tell us what you know about how that whole deal works. The other two options that I have at this point, now that I have live lobsters living in my house, are A, is it time to build a tank and name them? Do I now have Pinchy and Clawy as my new pets? And B, and I was serious about this, why can't I walk 200 feet from my house and throw them back in the water? I live in the Puget Sound, which the temperature and the salinization of the water here in the Puget Sound can't be crazy different than where they came from, which was Maine, right? Doesn't it seem like it would be Maine lobsters? Doesn't it seem like it would be kind of cold salt water, very, very similar?
But look, there are no lobsters there now. There aren't any, right?
Right, there aren't. We don't have lobsters, right.
Imagine if Bean did that.
That seems like a bad idea.
Imagine if Bean did that and he started a lobster infestation in Seattle.
And it started a new industry or destroyed everything that's there. One or the other.
So when I suggested that was one of the options, was throwing him into the sound, just letting him go, going, hey, I saved these two. I'm going to let him go. People were going crazy on my Twitter yesterday saying, A, you can't do that because you don't know what you're going to be introducing into the wild. Like, you don't know what kind of viruses they may have or disease they may have or something like that. That's the first thing they were saying, is it could be that you could get in a lot of trouble, for instance, for doing that because you're screwing with a natural ecosystem.
Mm, good point.
And B, they were saying, and I don't really fully understand this because to me, cold salt water is cold salt water, whether you're on the East Coast or the West Coast. B, they were saying they wouldn't survive anyway. They would die anyway. They would die more painfully than and more slowly than they would die if I just dropped them into the bucket, on my stove.
They may not have stuff to eat there.
Yeah, exactly. See, I don't know enough about this. I am clearly way out of my depth on this. All I know is they looked up to me with those cute little faces, and I could almost just picture no.
You've had weird pets before. You've had a tarantula.
I've had hedgehogs. Yeah, I know.
You could have lobsters.
Maybe I could have lobsters. I don't know. But I mean, they are so darn delicious. Beer Mug is right about that. But am I willing to kill my own food? I really feel like I need more information. By the way, in case you're wondering, put them back in the fridge. Had Cheerios last night for dinner instead, which is not the lobster that I'd been looking forward to all day. But they could be on the menu for tonight, depending on what you guys tell me. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Going right to your calls here in a moment at 1-800-520-1067.
Not right to the calls, because I got something to say.
Well, for folks who are just joining us, we bought lobsters. They were live, and then we couldn't pull the trigger. Couldn't drop them in the water, couldn't kill them to eat them. So they went back into the fridge, and now I don't know what to do. Do I release them into the wild?
No!
Do I make them pets?
No!
You can't. It's
they're
hard
not
to kill
pets. You know what they are? They're bugs. They're underwater bugs. That's
what
they are.
It's hard to kill your own food when they look at you with those eyes, Ralph.
They're ugly as sin. They're like aliens, these creatures.
Well,
they're hideous. But they're not cute. I'm tired of hearing in the other room, oh, but they're so cute.
So cute.
They're not cute. They're hideous.
But
here's the thing. They're bugs. They're simple-minded bugs. They don't have nervous systems like us. They don't have fear or pain or whatever.
How do you know any of that?
Because it's science.
How do you know?
Because scientists have proven this. That you drop in the hot water, it's a shock to the nervous system. Boom, it's all over. And by the way, what sort of simpleton goes to the supermarket, looks at a live creature and says, oh, I'm going to take this home and eat it. And the guy goes, oh, wait a minute. I don't know if I can do this. It's that decision you have in your head before you purchase the lobsters.
One that's married to me is the kind of simpleton that does that. But she's the one who bought it, and then she's the one who is going to prepare it. But then she came, she came upstairs. I was upstairs, and she came upstairs. She said, I can't do it. They're so cute. And then I went down, and I kind of had to agree with her, and then we couldn't really put them in the water and kill them.
I think you should release the lobsters into the wild, and you and your wife should jump into a pot of boiling water.
Someone had me just watch a YouTube video of people putting them in hot water, and they did not die instantly. They were still moving.
No, but the shock to their nervous system, they don't feel anything. They go out the minute they hit that water. And the rest is just reflex movement. It's not even conscious movement.
I don't know.
Daryl writes,
Lisa, eat the lobsters.
Daryl writes in, hey, don't you need a haircut in Maine right now? Box up Pinchy and Chloe, hop on a flight, let them back out into the wild and kill two birds with one stone. Well, don't actually kill any birds. And then Andy writes, hey, when life gives you dilemmas, make dilemonade. So I don't know what to do with that information, but let's talk to Cody. Cody agrees with you, Ralph, that the lobsters don't feel it when you drop them in the boiling water. I don't know how they can't. It's freaking boiling water. Cody, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going? Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
Yeah, totally. These lobsters, like, they're just basic creatures, you know? They don't have a nervous system like we do. They don't feel pain when you put them in the water.
Right. How do you know that?
I took college biology, marine biology classes.
Yeah, okay. Biology 101, Bean. Turns out scientists have studied this kind of crap over the years, Bean. They've done some experiments, you douche.
I didn't make it to biology 101. I dropped out fairly early in my college career, Ralph. You know that. All right. So you're saying it doesn't hurt them and it kills them instantly, or at least they don't feel it after the first couple of seconds, and everything else, like Ralph said, is just reflex.
They don't even know they're in boiling water. They just think that, hey, I'm back in water, and then like a few minutes later, they're dead.
Yeah. They don't process it. They don't process the information like we do, Bean.
I hope you're right.
Ralph is completely correct. They are actually the closest relative to the cockroach that lives in the ocean.
Yes, they're water roaches. So next time you step on a roach, I don't know if I can do it.
I don't do that either.
Oh, I hate everyone in this room.
Thank you for the call, Cody. College man calling up, making me look bad. Hey, Beer Mug, what were you saying? Because a lot of people
stupid
are saying...
intellectually.
With facts. Hey, Kevin's not here today. Somebody has to be against facts, okay? That's my job. Beer Mug, what were you saying for people who were calling in and saying, what about when they scream? What did you hear about that?
That is the air inside their shell escaping.
Escaping, right. It's like letting the air out of a balloon.
Yeah.
But, we didn't always know how intelligent, like, porpoises and dolphins and whales were. Like, we're still learning to this day how truly intelligent they are. It could be that we just don't know.
Okay, when a lobster can jump out of a tank at SeaWorld, balance a ball in its nose, then I will not
well,
I will
not
drop a lobster in the tank anymore.
I'm just saying it may feel more than we know.
Oh, for God's
sake. Let's talk to give me Eric
the grass,
online.
The grass screams when you mow it, too, Lisa. Oh,
give me
I've
Eric on line five. Yeah, Eric. Eric
hey,
is,
what's up, guys? What's up, Lisa May, girl?
Eric is my brother. He's got sympathy for my situation. What's going on, dude?
Okay, dude, I have a friend on the East Coast. I was telling him how much I love lobster. He said, I'm going to send you some Maine lobster. So, like, 5 days later in the mail, I get this huge package. I'm thinking the guy sent me frozen lobster tails. Lo and behold, there are two live Maine lobsters in this box, okay? I did not have the balls to put these in the water the first day. They literally sat in my refrigerator in this huge aluminum bowl for, like, 4 days.
Ugh.
Alive, like, crawling around in there before I finally got enough gumption to throw them in the water. When I did, I'll tell you, I threw them in there. There was no screaming. There was no crawling around. About, you know, 10 minutes later, they were bright red. I pulled them out, and I had the best lobster dinner of my life.
Testify, Eric. Testify.
and have you been able to sleep ever since, or does it haunt you what you did to them?
No problems, and I actually took pictures of it.
Good man.
Okay. All right.
I got to tell you one warning, though.
Yeah.
Do not cut those rubber bands off their claws.
Why?
Because if you cut those rubber bands off their claws, they're going to snap at you, and if they get you, man, it hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's common sense, I think.
Yeah.
Don't let the creature with giant pinchers near your hands.
That's right.
Even Bean knows that much.
All right. Eric, thank you very much for the call. So he was brave enough. So you guys think I should just go for it then? Don't be so flimsy.
Stop being so soft.
Well, I don't know what else.
What about letting them go? What about putting them back in the sand?
Let me tell you a little secret. You are torturing them and making them suffer more by leaving them out of water, wrapped in plastic in a refrigerator for 5 days than you are dumping them in boiling water.
And you can't put them in the sound because that's not their natural habitat.
It's salty, cold water, though. What's wrong with that?
Do you know if they have the nutrients in there that they need? They probably need the ocean.
Why is making dinner such a dilemma? Why does everything have to be so difficult?
Why are you treating your lobster like a prisoner of war and keeping it locked up in a refrigerator for days on end?
All right. We're going to have to leave it there. I'll let you know what happens with Pinchy and Chloe.
Kill the lobster!
We'll take a break. We got LaQuisha talking about last night's Jersey Shore right after this with the Henry Rollins this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, punk legend with the band Black Flag, one of the smartest guys we know. He joins us talking about his new TV show, plus Dr. Drew in minutes coming up on K-Rock as well. I know you hate the royal family, Kevin.
The queen sucks balls.
The queen is awesome, and I admire her very much. She's a wonderful lady. But imagine being her son, and you know that one day you get to be king when mom dies. And mom refuses to die. Mom just continues to live and go on and on. You're 60-something, and you're still waiting around for your job to begin. You've never had a job. Now you're waiting for your job to begin, but mom won't die. So you have all this time on your hands. So you just look for ways to fill your days. That's what Prince Charles' life is like. Last year, he went out and started breakdancing with some kids. That was a big YouTube sensation. Last week, he shows up at a TV station in Scotland, and they have him doing the weather. Now, this is the guy who's going to be the king of England. They have him on the TV doing the weather. I think we have a little bit of that now.
Well, it's an unsettled picture as we head towards the end of the week. This afternoon it'll be cold, wet and windy across most of Scotland. We're under the influence of low pressure.
That's the future king of England doing the weather on the TV.
We're under the influence of low pressure.
So now you're making fun of him because he has an accent, as millions of people in that country do, by the way. Now he's in Canada, and he's touring the nation in celebration of his mom's 60 years on the throne, by the way. She's been queen for 60 years this year.
That must just burn his chops.
It has to, right? So he's in Canada just basically looking for stuff to do, and I guess he's decided he's going to be a DJ. Apparently he hooked up with this DJ, and they're teaching him how to scratch, and he's on the ones and twos.
Nobody is less a DJ than
Prince
Charles.
Well, you look at him and go, here's a guy who automatically has the rhythm, but we wanted to find out more about this, so we asked producer Dave if he could line up Prince Charles, and sure enough, we've got him on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Your Highness. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Well, we're fine. Congratulations on all your new careers, your breakdancing and your weathercasting, and now you're DJing.
Yes, one likes to stretch a bit. One likes to learn new challenges, new skills.
Is it possible that becoming a DJ is stretching a little too far for you?
I don't
you?
Believe so. I've always had a knack for the wheels of steel.
You have.
I've just been a natural at turntablism, and I believe my crab scratch and phaser scratch would be on compare.
I don't know what you're talking about, so I guess that proves your point. Is it, this is more your area than mine, I guess.
Well, give me a little example.
Okay.
Yeah. Boy. Yeah.
Is that you, Prince Charles?
That's me.
Wow.
That's pretty funky.
Yeah, I would not have expected that at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty bitching.
It's weird because in this video that surfaced, you look like you've never seen a pair of turntables before as the DJ is trying to explain to you how they work.
Yes, well, that was a few days ago.
Oh, now you've learned it completely?
Yes, I've picked it up rather quickly.
Hmm. You're a fast learner. Gotcha.
And now now the bitches be crazy about me. I got what? Mad bitches.
But don't you have mad bitches because you're going to be the king someday?
Well, that doesn't hurt. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
It's very attractive to women knowing that potentially they could be a queen someday.
Sure.
Right.
But and I like to think it's because of my mad skills and the ones and twos. Yeah.
Prince
like Cascade it. In the house, y'all.
You need some mic work.
Yeah.
It does seem like you should be able to hire a good hype man or something to go with that.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting Harry or one of the other princes to do that for me.
You don't know the other princes?
my other kid.
William, I think. Is it William?
Louis.
There's no I'm pretty Louis. Sure it's William.
Alan?
Nope. It's William. It's William and Harry.
Ferdinand.
I think.
Yeah, you don't spend a lot of time with your own kids, do you there, Prince?
Craig.
Just, you don't have Craig.
It's not Craig.
Nope.
Nope, it's not
Grange.
Hey, it's definitely not Grange. I know that. Hey, are you still married to that old lady?
Camilla, you're talking about
yes,
Camilla?
Yes, Camilla, yes, your wife.
Oh, she's around somewhere. I believe she's in the stables eating her hay.
Yes, that sounds about right. So.
I don't need her now. I've got mad bitches. I don't know if I've mentioned it or not, but I have mad bitches.
You
now.
Did mention that because of your DJ skills.
Because of my wheels of steel and my ones and twos.
You're right.
Do you have a DJ name, Prince Charles?
Yes, DJ Bad Teeth.
I like it.
Quite a show still to come here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including the beautiful actress Kate Beckinsale. This Underworld movie looks pretty good, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome.
Got her in about a half an hour. Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Dave Hester is going to be on from Storage Wars and funny man Rob Delaney. First, though, Kevin, what's going on in your favorite country of North Korea?
Well, Kim Jong-il died. He was the ruler there. He was the ruthless
the
tyrant.
The dear leader.
Yes, the dear leader is what he made them call him.
Yes.
He passed away. He's got a bunch of sons. Not all of them are a 10 out of 10, let's be honest. Some of them are fat. Some of them are a little
slow.
Flow.
It's also just weird. I mean, you know, you kind of take for granted. You grow up, you live in America, you get to choose who leads you. You get to vote for the guy you want to run the country. It's not like that in places like North Korea with a dictatorship. I mean, he decides. He picked a dude. He picked a dude, his son, to run the place after he was gone. I mean, there wasn't any discussion about it. There wasn't a way to weigh in. I mean, that's who's going to get it. So he picked the younger son, I guess. And then there's an older son who's standing around going, hey, what about me over here?
Yeah, he passed over the older son. But here's the headline that got our attention. Kim Jong-il's fat playboy son totally jealous of good dictator brother.
Cool dictator brother, right.
How about that? Fat playboy son.
Wow.
That's the beauty of being a son of a you know, tyrant, is that you can be fat and a playboy.
Yep,
at the
that's
same
right.
time, you can get chicks all the time even though you're fat.
Yeah, he's ridiculously wealthy, and he has no job, and he just spends his time jetting all over the world, you know, banging chicks. His name is Chad Kim Jong-nam, and he joins us, the man who will not be leading the North Korean people, but he is on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Chad, hello.
Hello. Hey, Rhonda, how you go?
We go well.
It's good to hear.
It's very loud where you are. What's going on? Is that a party?
Yeah, I've been clubbing. Our clubbing make it rain.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ladies love me.
I'll bet they love you because you have a lot of money.
No, they love me because I'm so handsome.
Well.
They love my personality.
The picture I'm looking at makes you look like you're about 300 plus.
Yes, but it's all muscle.
Sure. Yeah.
You have been telling people, and you are quoted in a new book coming out this week, that your younger brother is going to fail. He will be a terrible leader for your country. How come?
Because he's the stupid head. He don't know what, how to be dictator.
He's a stupid head.
Yeah. I'd be better dictator.
You want to take over when he fails?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm the older brother.
Well, you might want to...
I was stepped over. It ain't the way I wanted it. I can handle things. I'm smart.
Right.
I'm not like everybody says, like dumb. I'm smart. I want respect.
Right. Maybe a little
bit... That's what Fredo said in Godfather.
Oh, I see. Should we have gotten that reference? I'm sorry, Chad.
First of all, my name's not Chad.
I thought it was Chad. Isn't it?
No, Chad is what you call like a broham or like.
Oh, I see.
Chad is a kind of person. Like, oh, look at that Chad over there
in
the bar, all dressed up, looking like he's something.
Oh, Chad's with the new bros. I got you.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
so
exactly
you are,
right. Yeah,
you are Kim Jong Nam then, and your younger brother who is running things is Kim Jong Un.
Oh, god damn, this is a hard bit to get through.
It really is. Yes,
you guys, you gotta read more.
I'm a stupid
fat playboy. I know more what's going on than you do.
Well, you should.
I was unfamiliar with the term. I'm sorry. Okay, so what's the problem with your brother? You think he's going to fail? He has no vision? How would you do a better job?
First of all, he doesn't know how to be mean.
Right.
Which you got me to be dictator.
Okay.
He don't know how to torture.
Well,
that's important skill to have.
I guess.
Like me, I'm a killer.
You're a killer?
Yeah. I slay the ladies on the dance floor.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
No.
And I'm a torturer.
You're a torturer?
Oh, no.
I beat up all the ladies from the inside.
No.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
No.
That is not sexy.
Yeah. And I like to waterboard the ladies.
Oh, see,
you know what I'm saying?
Uh-oh.
I make it rain on them and they think they're drowning.
Yeah.
Okay.
With Zalaville.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Maybe you more take over.
I should.
Yeah.
I think it'd be so much more fun country if I was leader.
No, I agree.
Every Friday would be... It'd be Macarena Friday.
Macarena Friday.
Everybody have to dance Macarena.
Oh, that's
very,
a fresh idea.
Very timely.
Oh, that's a fun dance.
Well, you got some good ideas there, Chad. I hope it works out for
Stop
you.
Stop calling me Chad. Okay.
Yeah, whatever your name is. We don't care.
Learn one thing.
Time for...
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back?
This is a feature that we came up with a number of years ago where it gives us the opportunity to maybe... I don't know, something that we regret, something we shouldn't have said. It gives us a chance to take it back and kind of apologize to the audience a little bit. We don't always feel that way, but sometimes in retrospect we do. So that's why we now have this opportunity to do so.
People will occasionally come up to me and ask me who writes our stuff. And I know that they don't listen, because if they listen, they could tell that we don't have
Nothing
writers.
Nothing is written.
Right. So this is the first one. This is my man Bean. Ralph is talking about birthdays.
Tiffany Thiessen. It used to be Tiffany Amber Thiessen. But she lost her Amber. She is 38 years old.
Nick, we should send out an Amber Alert. Try to find
her. No.
What?
File.
Just file. Come on.
That's pretty good.
File.
I'll back you.
You're out.
Would you like to take that back?
If I want to take back Amber Alert, no.
Would you like to take that back?
I'm proud of that.
I think that's a good one.
I'm standing by it.
I'm going to play a tiny clip of what we just heard, and then I want you to reconsider. You ready?
All right.
I'll back you.
All right, what about that?
She says so much beef with more gusto than she says, I'll back you.
Lisa's very tepid, but on your side there.
Ralph said she lost her Amber.
Right.
Right.
I understand
it.
Well, mine wasn't a joke. I was just saying she lost the Amber part of her name. She dropped
it.
Right. Look, if the question is,
would you like to take that back?
No, I would not like to take that back. I'm standing by it. I'm happy with that.
All right. This is a long clip, but I had to leave it long because it all leads up to the punchline, and this is my man Ralph as he's doing the showbiz.
So he's an Elvis impersonator dressed as Elvis, who the cops show up to pick up because he's wanted, okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He barricades himself inside the motel room. As they approach him, he holds up a vial full of white powder
saying it's ricin, the poison that can kill a human instantly. Then he opens up his jumpsuit, and he's got C4 explosives strapped to his body. After a four-hour SWAT standoff, Elvis was taken into custody. The ricin turned out to be table salt.
Yeah.
The C4 was fake. It was a modeling clay that he had.
Like a prop.
Now, in retrospect, he blames his behavior on diabetes.
On diabetes?
Yes. He said his blood sugar was low. I apologize to the public. I was disoriented. Guess he was all shook up.
Okay. All right. Man, file.
Come on! That old joke led up to that one. That was sweet.
Nope. Well, you'll have a chance.
No way. Would you like to take that back? That was a well-crafted Shaggy Dog story.
The whole story was for that punchline.
Yeah.
That was the best 40 minutes of that show.
No way. That was sweet.
Ask Rodney to come in. We need Rodney Bingenheimer.
Rodney!
Rodney Bingenheimer? Would you like to take that back for the first time? Wow. Bean is explaining. Right. Hey, Rodney. Welcome to Would You Like to Take That Back?
In the hallways all these years, I get to come in.
All right. Now, Bean is explaining Coachella.
All right. Coachella.
And Rodney has a...
Bon Iver is going to be playing on the middle night of each weekend. The Shins are playing. Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds on the bill. Here's what I love about
Coachella.
The Shins
are playing between the ankles and the knees.
Really?
Well, I don't know about that, but...
Can we put that in the file?
Would You Like to Take
That Back? Boomtown Rats.
Now, it's a yes or no. The yes or no question is... Would you like to take that back? And then you say yes.
Oh, all right.
Or no.
Belinda Carlisle.
yes or no.
All right, the Bangles. Would you like to take that back? Yes.
Close enough. We'll take that as a yes. Thank you, Rodney.
We'll take it.
Yesterday, we were talking about airline trouble, people who get in trouble on the airline, and I started the, quote, comedy, unquote, and then Bean really drove it home, and I believe Bean needs to take it back, but I'm willing to consider my role.
So we're taking off out of Oakland, and we hit a flock of seagulls as we're taking off.
The band? You hit the band, the flock of seagulls? What were they even doing in Oakland?
And knocks out one of the engines. And we start going down in the bay.
Wow.
They end up putting three holes in the airplane that we're in. They patched up that plane. We stayed on that plane and flew it to Burbank.
But once that plane landed, I bet you ran. You ran so far away, right?
Boo!
Boo is right! Boo and file, says the listener. Boo and file, boo. Says the listener.
Boo. Would you like to take that back? Boo, indeed.
The listener booed you.
All right. Are you going to take yours back, Kevin?
No, wait. Kevin should not take that back.
I am not taking back the seagulls.
Because that was the alley-oop. He went up and he jammed it. Right. That, and then 4 minutes in the quarter go by, and you go back to the flock of seagulls reference from 4 minutes ago and put up a lame jump shot that just rattles around the iron.
I see your point. Yeah. I think I agree with you. And I think not only will I take it back,
yes!
I am also man enough to admit that in the exact same circumstance, it would be impossible for me to not say the exact same line again. I just couldn't help myself.
So you're
I just
take
had
it
to
back,
say it.
But yes. Unfortunately, you're tied to that joke.
Unfortunately, I would do it again. But yes, in this case, I regret it. Yes.
All right. And finally,
it's like that girl you shouldn't keep going back and having sex with. You just can't stop yourself.
All right. And finally, LaQuisha's on the phone. Hey, LaQuisha.
What?
Would you like to take that back?
I ain't watching no damn Jersey Shore.
No, it's not about Jersey Shore. It's about one of your reports or one of the jokes that you made. This is it.
And she has come up with a persona for this bunny costume.
Great.
Her name is Lola. She is not a showgirl.
Oh, man.
File.
Wow. File, LaQuisha. Sorry.
Hey, you file my ass.
File.
I'm going to cut you.
You file. Where's file?
It's filed, LaQuisha.
Is that
you making a Barry Manilow lyric reference
her
from
name 1978?
Yes, it was.
That's right, I did it. You got a problem with that?
Well, we're asking you a question. Would you like to
take that back? I ask you a question. Would you like to kiss my ass?
Can I take that as a yes?
No, you can't take that as a yes.
Okay. All right, so no.
I know where you work.
All right, take it easy.
I'll see you later today.
No,
I think.
It was Bean that suggested you should take it back.
Oh, I'm going to Fantasy Island then.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Would you like to
take that back? Kevin, you were watching the Lakers game the other night when Dallas came to town. Lamar Odom surprisingly well received by the home crowd. A lot of times, usually they boo the people who have left, but maybe people knew that he didn't want to go, right?
Well, he didn't want to. It's a weird situation. No, he didn't want to go at all. He was surprised that they had traded him. And then they said, oh, wait a minute. The league said, oh, wait a minute. You're not going to be able to trade. You got to stay. And he said, I want to be traded anyway.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird situation.
So it went to Dallas, and so it was sort of his fault for forcing their hand, but they gave a standing ovation, and he sort of just stood there. He acknowledged it eventually, but it didn't really seem happy at all still, and that's why when he went to Washington, D.C., the reports are that he went to a strip club.
Well, what are you going to do? You got Chloe at home. Occasionally, you want to see a feminine-looking woman in your life as well. Correct. So that's what happened. So, yeah, I mean, it has been a bad few weeks for the Kardashian clan. But now this report says that Chloe is not happy. There were lots of reports about her husband in Washington, D.C., at a strip club with some of the other Mavericks players, with 500 singles that he was liberally spreading around to all the girls at the club.
500 $1 bills. I wouldn't even know where to go to get that. You go to a bank?
I guess
you'd have to. That's a brother that wants to really make it rain. He wants to make it pour. Well, we wanted to find out what the heck is going on with this and make sure things are still good with him and his beautiful wife, Chloe. So we asked producer Dave to line up Lamar Odom, and we have him on the phone with us from Dallas right now. Hi, Lamar. How are you?
Hi, Ryan. Hi, Ellen. How are you?
Oh, no, Chloe. I'm sorry. I thought we had your husband. I'm sorry,
what?
Chloe.
Why would you want to talk to my husband? Hi. You guys always talk to me.
Hi, Chloe. It's great to talk to you.
Hi. Hi, Elmo. Hi, pussy.
No, it's Kevin and Bean. Still Kevin and Bean.
How's Dallas? Mark.
Hi, Brian.
How's Dallas?
Oh, yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
Right.
It's spectacular.
Right.
Have you made the drive to Seguin to see the world's largest pecan, Chloe?
Next question.
Okay.
All right, is your husband around? We would like to just say hi.
Oh, you want to talk to Lamar?
Well, yeah, we just want to wish him well.
Okay, let me go get him.
I was expecting her to answer.
It's very strange that she would answer. That threw me for a loop. Wow.
Lamar, Ryan and Ellen want to talk to you.
It's not.
Get on the phone.
Hello?
Lamar, is everything okay? Do you need help?
Man. Everything cool?
I can't really talk right now, man.
I know it's kind of a tough...
I got a bit of a situation here at home, man.
Yeah.
And no, the situation isn't in my home. Or you ask that.
Is it true, though, you took 500 $1 bills into a strip club in D.C. and made it rain?
Yeah, I did that. But that was a mistake, man.
It was a mistake?
Yeah. I thought they were 20s.
You thought there were 20s.
Yeah. Wow. Trying to be impressive. I just got one $501 bill. Nothing, man. Looks like I'm going to Chuck E. Cheese to play some skee ball.
Now, Chloe, according to the report, is angry, but I would like to suggest you're an NBA player.
Yeah.
And perhaps that's how NBA players act.
That's right. That's how we roll.
Uh-huh.
So I'm gonna get a new start. I'm in Dallas, a new team.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to become a new man.
Okay.
I'm not going to live in fear of Chloe no more.
Wow! All right, this is very bold. You're breaking out because
changing my name too.
Had the upper hand.
You're changing your name.
Yeah, like you know, Ron Artest
to World
Meta
Peace.
Yeah, right. Meta World Peace. Uh-huh. Now.
Yeah,
I want to change my name too.
To
Maria. So that's a toss up.
A tribute to our own Kevin. Right?
Yeah, that's what got the idea, man. I heard him talking. I said, "Man, that fool talk crazy." And I listened to when Mother Mouse yells the toss up, and I said, "Hey, that sounds good, man. That look toss up look good in the back of my jersey."
Wait,
I think
I thought we were supposed to be talking about the strip club.
We were talking about the strip club. Now we moved on to my new name.
Okay.
Can't right, you so follow a long damn conversation?
What do you think?
We start talking strip club, dollar bills. Now we're talking about Mother Mouse, not a toss up.
So that's a toss-up.
Yeah.
That's my new, like, Meta World Peace. I'm going to Mata Yasa. That's a toss-up.
Well, that'll maybe.
Ladies and gentlemen, now coming into the game, Mata Yasa. That's a toss-up. It sounds good, like African or something, man.
If that will get people to stop asking questions about what you did with the stripper in the champagne room that night,
that's
then I guess
what I'm saying. Take it, just turn all the press, man. Take attention away from one, put on the other.
I see.
Okay. All right. We're almost out of time here, Lamar, but are you in any danger at home? Do you need us to call the authorities or anything like that to keep Chloe off you?
No, man, it's good.
Everything's good.
Anytime she gets angry and starts coming at me, I just dangle a double wobble with cheese in front of her face. And she gets distracted right away. It's like throwing meat after one of them guard dogs in the movies. He's trying to break into a secret complex. Okay, take a raw steak and put some sleeping pills in it, right. And just go right in. So,
that's what I do with this one. That sounds like a good plan.
It is a good one until she wake up and then she's like, whoa. I'm so angry. What happened? I said, bitch, eat more.
Sounds like you got it under control, Mr. Toss-Up. I'm glad we got to catch up with you. Good luck, all right?
Yes, that's a toss-up.
And to you as well.
Hello. Hello, my name is Jimmy Fallon. With my hair back and forth.
Dropped out of school, college, and I went to L.A. to
Join the Groundlings.
Here's some election news. A new poll found that President Obama's approval rating is lowest in Idaho. Probably has to do with the Obama's new campaign slogan, potatoes suck. The most fun thing in the world, having your own talk show, is like you get to go out and do comedy in front of, you know, live crowds and get, you know, it's immediate feedback, which is why I really love.
So stay winning, my gods and goddesses. Thank you, Chili's Menus, for showing how many calories are in your food. I'm in a Chili's. What part of I don't give a crap do you not understand?
One of America's top comedians, he's also a talk show host, Jimmy Fallon!
It's been a while since Jimmy Fallon has joined us on the Kevin and Bean Show, but we are delighted to welcome him now. Hi, Jimmy. How are you, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you. It's going great. I have to tell you. Yeah, as a good Christian program like we are, I'm not comfortable talking about any CD called Blow Your Pants Off. That's just offensive, Fallon. Come on.
I know, but you guys got to change your format. I mean, really. The idea of this is it's so good that your pants will be blown off of your body when you play it.
So it's not something you came up with. It's just something you observed.
Yeah, exactly. I can't change science.
I see.
Right. It's too much comedy for clothes to remain on. I understand. Here's what I'll say about Jimmy Fallon, and I do enjoy your show very much, is no one seems to be having more fun on television than you do. Like, you've been doing that job for years now, Jimmy, but there's such obvious glee. Like, I almost get the feeling sometimes you can't believe that you're doing a late night network television show.
Sometimes it is like that. You go like, this is weird. Like, but I mean, it's crazy experiences. I mean, these aren't just like normal, fun, goofy things. Like, either I'll be doing a sketch with Will Ferrell, or I'm singing a song with Paul McCartney or something. And you're going like, what is going on? Like, this is just, how can you not have fun?
Let's play a little bit of the Paul McCartney. This is Scrambled Eggs. Just a clip of this from the new Jimmy Fallon album. Of course, Scrambled Eggs, famously the original title of Yesterday. Here's what they did with it.
Scrambled Eggs. Oh, my baby, how I love your legs. Not as much as I love scrambled eggs. Oh, we should eat some scrambled eggs. Waffle fries.
And then it goes into the... How does something like that work with Paul McCartney? Are you nervous at all to suggest that you're going to waste his time with a song like that?
Oh, completely, yeah. I mean, if you zoomed in, there's so much sweat on my face right there as I'm singing that. I'm just like, I'm just so nervous. I went in, he was a musical guest on Saturday Night Live that weekend, and he was just going to come on and talk. And so I went up to his dressing room to have a pre-interview, and I said, hey, Paul, I said, I just want to go over what we're going to be talking about on the show. He goes, yeah, I think we should just have like a fun chat. You know, we'll have a fun chat. I go, great, we'll have a fun chat. That'll be great. I go, but... I also wrote this sketch that I thought that you should just sing called Scrambled Eggs. You know, that was the original title of Yesterday. Like, what if you did the whole song as a tribute to food and different, you know, and he goes, yeah, I think we should just do a fun chat. All right, he goes, all right, we'll sing it for me, sing it for me. So I go, all right, great, so now I have to sing in front of Paul. So I start singing, like, scrambled eggs. I'm like, yeah, I love your legs, but not as much as I love scrambled eggs. I'll have you tried scrambled eggs. Cut to... his head is over my shoulder reading the lyrics, going like, waffle fries. And I go, great, so you want to do it? He goes, only if you do it with me.
Was that, wow, a dream come true for you. Was that your most awkward pitch, or was it Bruce Springsteen with Whip My Hair? Which one did you feel the worst about?
I mean, Springsteen was a fun one because that kind of opened the door for us. So we did the thing with Springsteen, like, and the manager wanted me to get on the phone with Bruce. I go, to explain the idea of the bag, okay. So that was nerve-wracking. So I'm on the phone with Bruce, and I go, I want to do a duet. I do an impression of Neil Young, and he goes, and I want to do a duet with you of Willow Smith's Whip My Hair. And he goes, I am not familiar with that song. I am not familiar with that song. I go, no, that's okay. The original goes, I whip my hair back and forth, I whip my hair back and forth. I go, but my version would be slowed down. It'd be more Neil. It'd be like, whip my hair back and forth. And then I want you to come in and go, you got to whip your hair, you know. And so he starts laughing. He goes, I love it. I'm in. He goes, well, wait, I got an idea. I go, okay. He goes, what if I dress up like I used to look in the 70s?
Oh, my God. It couldn't get any better.
Yeah, I go, you're pitching me on that. I go, of course. We'll get you a beard. We'll get you a hat. Like, and then he came out, and if you listen to the CD, you can hear, like, the audience doesn't quite realize that it's really Bruce Springsteen.
Right, yeah. It's incredible. It's incredible. And that's what's so brilliant about these songs, and they all go viral. I mean, it's unbelievable how many of these things you've had. Real quick, I know we don't have much time with you, Jimmy, but Slow Jam's the news.
Yeah.
Now, you've been doing it with Brian Williams. You've done a few of those, and they're great. How did you get President Obama to come out there with you slow jamming the news with the Roots playing? I mean, it was insane. How does something like that – how many layers do you have to go through to get the president to sing with you?
It's so crazy. It's like we just had a crazy year. We got a call from the White House to do a sketch with the president based on his initiative was to not to raise the college loans, the interest rates on college.
Yeah, and you were doing a live show down at a college in Virginia or something like that when he showed up, right?
Yeah. So I said, I'll go anywhere for the president. I'll do whatever he wants. Of course. So they go, well, he might be in North Carolina. I said, well, if I'm going to North Carolina, can we just do a whole show from there? And they go, let me call you back.
So wow.
White House calls us back and they go, I think he's in. He wants to do it. They go, but don't tell anybody, you know, that we're doing this because we have the Secret Service and all this stuff. We have to sweep the college and
what
make
the
sure
hell?
No, it got crazy. And they go, so we had a code name. We kept calling it Bieber. The Bieber show, is Bieber coming? And we said we couldn't say the, you know, the Obama word. And then we sent him Slow Jam, and they only had like one note really. I after working on Saturday Night Live, I kind of realized what you can go, what you can't do, what's too much and what's too edgy or whatever.
Did you have a rehearsal or was that just done live on the spot?
We had one quick rehearsal. The president gets there. We go into a room with the writers. Bashir and Diallo are the writers. He knows them. Like they know everything. The president knows where he's going to be, who's with him, how tall people are, how much they weigh.
What?
You know, he knows everything.
That's scary.
No, it's frightening. And he goes, okay, we're going to slow jam the news. Okay, well, so we do the slow jam, and at the end, normally with Brian Williams ends my slow jam with, he goes, oh, yeah. And so we're rehearsing, and President Obama goes, oh, yeah. You don't want to give me a little bit more spice, something?
And you gave him a note?
I gave him a note, and he wouldn't take it.
Well, you can hear these songs we've been talking about. Also, Walk of Shame, your hilarious song with Dave Matthews. Your Eddie Vedder Balls in Your Mouth duet is on there. You singing Friday with Stephen Colbert. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. It is so funny. It's called Blow Your Pants Off. It's available on CD. And, of course, you can download it as well. Jimmy Fallon, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon on NBC. Thanks so much for joining us, man. Always great to catch up with you. It's been too long.
Thanks.
Great. I mean, for years and years, I've been loving you guys. So thank you so much for everything, and thanks for having me back on.
Thanks, Jimmy.
You bet, man. Good luck. Bye-bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Blah, 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 Blink-182, blah, 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 Germany. Okay, let's get right to the nudity. Ladies and gentlemen, the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday. We got an email last week from a young man named Jake, apparently a big fan of the Kevin and Bean Show, who suggested, hey, guys, why not ask a nudist? And Kevin and I talked about it. We said, I don't believe we've ever had Ask a Nudist in all the series of nudists that we've done throughout the year. So today is the day. Please welcome Jake and Lindsay, ladies and gentlemen. They are here in the studio.
Good morning, guys.
Vita Nuda. VitaNuda.com. That's a terrible name. What does that mean, guys?
Well, first, you got it wrong. It's actually VitaNudaWest.org is our website.
Okay.
But and it's
even a worse one, but yeah. Go ahead.
Well, Vita Nuda is Latin for new nude life, or nude life is sort of where that comes from. It was founded in Florida as a way to get young people into the lifestyle and make people realize that we're a body healthy organization. You know, be young, be happy, be naked, be proud of who you are.
Because that is a great place to start the conversation, to get young people into nudity, because nudity was something that was very public nudity was very popular in the 60s and 70s, right? And all of those people that are still doing it are quite old, but a lot of new people haven't joined the ranks, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. The average age probably right now in America for nudists is probably pushing towards 50 now. So that's sort of our goal, is let's get you know, some new blood into the lifestyle.
And what you do with interesting.
By the way, Lindsay is here, and I think she's a plant. Because you know that my theory on nudist equals fat.
Right.
It's always
and old.
It's always the people that you don't want to see nude, basically.
Well, but see, that's not really
you're
the point.
You're a plant.
Oh, okay.
You're not
Lindsay
a part
was,
of this.
Lindsay was hired for this interview. Yeah. She's a model.
She's
right?
A part-time model. And she's like, yeah, I'm a nudist. Yeah, what of it? Please.
Whatever. No.
Lindsay, what's your story? How long have you been participating in the clothes optional lifestyle?
Since yesterday when they briefed you?
Well, I'm originally from Kansas, and I moved out here about 5 years ago. And actually, one of the first things I did was like, well, they have nude beaches here. I think I'm going to go give that a whirl. So,
Now, wait a minute. Back in, did you say Kansas?
Yes.
Were you a part of the nude scene?
Well, there's not much of a nude scene when it's about 10 degrees out. So.
Okay, so.
In the summertime.
But that
hot,
was your first thought when you came out here was, hey, there's nude beaches?
Well, you know, skinny dipping's always fun. And, you know, in a pool, I'm like, well, it's good in a pool. It's got to be 10 times better in the ocean. So.
I'm with you. Although the ocean's freezing out here.
Yes, it is. But, you know, so we went down to the beach, and I just gave it a whirl. And I met some of the coolest, most, you know, accepting.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you met a lot of people. She's nude, everybody. Come over here. Did you go to a nude area?
Yeah, the nude beach. Yeah.
Which one?
My first one was the one down in San Diego.
Okay.
So. Yeah, Black's Beach.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a long time they had Santa No Free, which has kind of been under the legal dispute battle. And so.
Didn't they close down Black's
Beach?
Yeah,
they did. Yeah. So.
All right. So you enjoyed the nude beach experience, and then you said, hey, I'd like to get into this more. And then did you look around for a nudist organization that you could participate in?
Actually, no. I started frequenting Santa No Free, and I just met a whole lot of really cool people down there, a lot of young people, a lot of middle-aged, a lot of everyone. You know, we're very accepting of, you know, it's not whether you're, you know, larger or small or what you do for a living. You know, we have lawyers and doctors. And
most people are larger. No. What percentage would you say are fat? Be honest.
Fat?
Yes.
You know, it's just a mix of everyone. Our group has young people. We even have a little person in our group.
Little person fat?
No.
She's just normal. She's awesome.
We have a comedian, Tim Chismar, who goes to a lot of clubs up here in L.A.
A fat comedian?
Oh, Jesus.
I'm just asking. I'm allowed to ask. I have questions, too.
Do you think I'm fat, Kevin?
No, you're not fat at all. That's why I think you're a plant. She's skinny and she's super hot. I don't buy it.
So what happened is we were on Santa Onofre, and we just ended up having this group that went down there every week, and, you know, we'd have barbecues, and we'd hang out, and we'd all go surfing, and it was a great time. There's about 30 people that started frequenting every single weekend, and then every now and then we'd go to some of the local nudist resorts, and we ended up meeting some more people there, and then me and a few friends decided that, Vita Nuda actually started out in Florida.
Okay.
And so a friend of mine knew the guy who had started it, and he asked us to kind of start up an organization out here on the West Coast to get younger people involved since, you know, the culture's kind of gotten a lot older.
Right.
And so that's just kind of where it started. It started about 2 years ago.
At Nudestock, right?
Yeah, at Nudestock.
Yeah.
What is it? Nudestock.
It's just as awesome as...
Yeah, well, a bunch of different resorts throw, but the two biggest ones in our area, there's one at a place called Glen Eden in Corona, and it's, I bet you a few thousand people show up for it, and there's a lot of cover bands, so Rolling Stones, Beatles, The Who. I mean, a lot of guys that dress up, and actually do pretty good jobs impersonating them.
It's weird that they would have to dress up at a nudist event.
They're about the only ones that are dressed. I haven't seen any of the impersonators actually nude, but you know, they have their groupies, and they go crazy out there, and it's amazing. But that's where a lot of our group sort of formed, was a lot of people came together there, and sort of the idea...
My fear, if I could be honest, of nudists, to be totally honest, is that I would go to Nudestock and I would be Woodstock.
And I'm sure that's question number one you get, right, Jake?
Yeah, that's my fear.
And I mentioned that in the email. So a couple things about that. First, it almost never happens. I've been around in my short time doing this, literally thousands of men, and I personally have never seen an erection.
Anybody.
I'm just saying, you know, like my first time doing it, I was surprised my junk didn't go inside me. I was so nervous about it, you know, that didn't happen. But when it does happen, and we recognize that it's a natural thing, it happens. Men, you know, if the wind blows the wrong way, maybe it happens to a man. But nudists always have towels for hygiene. You got to sit on them, you got to wrap in them, whatever. So if it happens, you wrap the towel around you, you jump in the pool, you deal with it. You know, we just...
It's like towel doesn't hide it, but well, that's all right.
We get that it happens, but we just don't want you pointing them at everybody if you can avoid it. You know,
sure. You got to be careful where you point those things.
Right. Put an eye out or something. Of course. You know?
And since this is Ask a Nudist here on the Kevin Bean Show, we are going to open up the phone lines right now for your telephone calls for our guests, Jake and Lindsay. 1-800-520-1067. I'll just ask the other big question beyond the erections, and that is, it's a strictly, as I understand it, in most cases, non-sexual event, right?
Yes, absolutely. Especially in
the resort. So what are the rules on that? I mean, if you've got a couple that goes, for instance, are they allowed? They're not allowed to make out or anything like that. Or is it you're not allowed to touch people? What are the rules when you're all hanging out together?
There's a strict, you know, no sex, no anything in public, especially at the resorts. You know, it's just it's not appropriate when you're naked. People get uncomfortable. What you do in your tent or in your cabin or wherever on your own time, you know, people. It's just like a bar, any other event that you know, clothed people would go to. You go, you
it
meet
just,
people.
It makes
you have
everybody
fun.
Else uncomfortable,
yeah.
So
right.
It's not.
So you don't do it. And then I mean, still people meet people. Maybe you hit it off, but you go back to, you know,
I gotcha.
Your house.
It
your
is weird that you might meet somebody naked and then have to go get dressed to go out on a date, which is kind of strange.
Well, you know, we were talking about this, is that nudity itself is actually really not sexy. I mean, when you sort of get around it a lot, it's to become sexy again, you just sort of dress up. Like, for example, if we have a Halloween party, we show up in costumes and then you sort of take parts off again, and that's how you sort of convey sexuality, you know? So it's when we're full nude, it's sort of like, wow, we're all naked and boring. And
okay,
you know.
Then try to explain it. Maybe this is the hippy-dippy part of nudism that a lot of people don't get or don't think they'd like. If it's not for sexual reasons, what do you guys get out of walking around being nude?
Well, it's just a really freeing experience, and really, after you take all the clothes and all the junk off, you don't know whether somebody's a lawyer or works at Taco Bell or works. I mean, you actually – people feel more free and talk to you just – you know, there's no inhibitions or
there's no barriers.
Yeah, there's no barriers. And you actually get to know people really for who they are. I mean, more than I have ever been able to meeting them at a club anywhere. In
well, let me ask this question then. I am looking into your eyes right now.
Yes, you are, Kevin.
You're naked. We're having a conversation. I'm guessing my eyes are straying.
Let me
Does
tell
that
you this.
Happen?
Let me tell you this. Okay. When you want to have sexy time as a nudist, you would go put lingerie on. Why? Because you know what? Guys want to see boobs, you know?
Right.
You got clothes on that are revealing. It's more about the reveal, you know? You got a sexy shirt on. Guys want to look at you.
The imagination.
They're like, yeah, they're like, oh, I want to see that
so
nipple
saying,
slip, you
so,
know?
So if you're saying you're naked, that I'm
they've
not looking?
Seen a, yeah, they've seen a million. There's boobs everywhere. They don't stare at your boobs. They've already seen 100 sets that day. And of course, they're going to look at your boobs and glance, but it's the norm. They're not like, oh my God, I just saw Lindsay's boobs today. That's so awesome. You know, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
well,
maybe I'm not made
Lindsay's
for that life.
Or butt, right. Or whatever it may be.
We have many more questions. This is fascinating. 1-800-520-1067. Ask a Nudist is what's happening. Jake and Lindsay are in here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And again, the website is VitaNudaWest.com for people who want to check it out.
.org.
.org.
Yes.
Okay.
Third time's a charm.
Dave sent me, you know, info like he does. So we'll take your calls when we return on Ask a Nudist right after this on the Kevin. Jake is an actual nudist. He has hired a young actress named Lindsay to come with us to pretend to be a nudist. We are doing Ask a Nudist here on the Kevin Bean Show and taking your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. Before we go right to the calls and hear Omar's new intro, and I can't wait, a lot of people come and try it out. I mean, when you guys have your events, you advertise them. Do people show up that are there always first-time nudists there? And what percentage of them get hooked on it and keep coming back? And what percentage of them say, nope, not for me?
Go ahead.
Okay.
If you know.
I would say probably 90% of everybody who comes out really, really enjoys it and always wants to come back to another event. And if anything, they just think they've never felt that free and accepted, or, you know, if they feel uncomfortable, it's like, oh, I got a, you know, chunky belly or this part I don't like about me. It's like all that disappears and, you know, 90% of the time they
chunky
love it.
Chunky belly doesn't disappear, by the way.
Yeah, well, yeah, plus,
it's still there.
Plus, our group is tons of fun. I mean, we're 20 and 30 something.
By tons of fun, you mean?
We're ample fun havers. I don't know. We like to party. We like to have a good time and drink and laugh and tell inappropriate jokes.
You have
a cutoff
of 35 years old for your group?
Yeah, we generally go, you know, 21 to 35 for our group. But I mean, for
so what happens to people that are friends of yours now in the group that you like that turn 36? I mean, do you just have to say so long, see old man?
We
I mean, what
them.
Do you do?
It's like, yeah, generally.
It's like Menudo used to do. They'd kick them
right,
out.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, B, we got some listeners that want to ask questions.
Let's do it.
Come on now.
Kevin and Bean have a nudist in here. Don't want to wear no clothes, they make them disappear. They like it in the buff, but I bet they look rough. Ask a nudist. Ask a nudist. Oh. Do people call you a pervert?
ask a nudist, but I bet that you're fat.
Okay.
Wow.
Thanks so much. Let's go to Aaron. He's on line one, our first caller for Ask a Nudist here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Jake and Lindsay are our guests in the studio from VitaNudaWest.org. Aaron, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey. First, I want to say, what's up, Lisa May?
What's up, Aaron?
Second off, well, I'm just curious, this is more for Jake. Don't you guys ever get worried when you're not a shower, you're a grower? Like, I'm not a grower. I'm not a shower. I'm a grower.
So you're saying if it's small size...
Does it ever get weirded you guys out?
Most of the guys will say, having now seen many people nude, most of the guys are growers, I would say. And no, really nobody cares. You know, you might say, well, you know, perhaps I keep my towel a little longer on today if I'm worried about it or something. But, I mean, really, you don't. After about 30 seconds, you're over it, and nobody really gives a damn. We're all just human, and we're all who we are.
Do you not allow black people in because they show you up?
We love all types of people.
Just saying.
Thank you, Aaron, for the call. But that speaks to what you were saying, Lindsay, which is it's body acceptance, whether it's your weight or whether it's your boobs or whether it's, you know, the size of what you got or whatever. I mean, that's the stuff that melts away when you forget about it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, I've been in this lifestyle now for about 5 years, and I can't even tell you the size of half of my friend's junk, you know? Like, oh, who has big junk? I don't pay attention half the time.
Girl.
What guys are worried about, though, is what girls think? So,
yes.
I mean, girl nudists don't pay that big of attention.
Right. It might even make a guy who thinks he's inadequate realize that he's just normal.
Normal, yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of girl nudists, give me some percentages in your group of men and women.
You know, we're actually really proud of that because, you know, a lot of people think it's mostly male.
I would say 10% women. That would be my guess.
I would say mostly even at resorts with the older crowd. I mean, they're couples, married people. It's pretty 50-50. And with our group, we started out a little more heavy with the males. No, Kevin, not fat.
Okay, sorry.
Sexy young men. We
have a pretty good mixture, is what she's saying.
Yeah, it's pretty 50-50. And sometimes at our events, we actually have more women than we do men.
Which is pretty
cool. Yeah.
I'm coming. All right, let's say Tina.
Hey, watch your language.
To the event. Tina is on line three. Let's get a question from a woman. Ask a nudist. You're on the Kevin Bean Show. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin Bean? What's up, Lisa May?
Hey, Tina.
Hi, Tina!
I was just wondering, how have your friends and family reacted to this lifestyle?
That's a good question. You have to tell your mom and dad or your family or whoever?
They know. I mean, we don't talk about it really often, but, I mean, they don't have a problem with it. And as far as friends, I'm pretty open about it. None of them judge me, and half of them kind of are curious about if anything I bring them out. And those are a lot of the people that actually end up, you know, joining us for a lot of our events.
What about the real nudists, Jake?
Well, I'll mention, to be quite honest with you, I'm doing air quotes right now. I haven't come out, so to speak, to most of my friends and family.
Do you need us to make a call? Because we'd be happy to
get my mom on the phone right now.
Yeah.
I think by and large, most young people are okay with it. You know, you sort of worry, is an employer going to think about it a certain way? And it just sort of depends where you go.
That makes sense.
But, you know, most people are pretty cool with it, I guess. You know, they have the perception that it's swingers and stuff, and so we just try and dispel that's not actually what happens.
All right.
Yeah, good. I would imagine that'd be a very common misperception because most people equate nudity with sexuality. Absolutely. Let's take one more. Let's do Charles. He's going to get us into a question about the kinds of events that your group do. Hi, Charles. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Charles.
You guys mentioned, or kind of offhandedly, you know, when you're hanging out at the nude beaches and whatnot, that you would go surfing. I was just kind of curious, you know, did you guys do that nude? How did that work out? I mean, you know, when I go without a shirt, I know I can get a little bit of nipple rash. So
yeah,
I'm
that seems painful.
Well, as a female, I've gotten nipple rash. But other than that, I mean, it feels the same, obviously, as it would with a swimsuit on. And as for guys, I know a lot of guys that surf naked and, I mean, I don't have junk, so I can't tell you, but they have never complained about this.
It does sort of help keep the area trim because the wax does occasionally pull a little bit if you're not careful, you know, but by and large, it's...
So it helps manscaping, but
But otherwise, I mean, it's just fantastic, dude. I mean, everything is better naked, so everybody should try it.
You said you went skydiving recently, other than parachutes, were you naked?
No, but at the drop zone, you know, I generally go to, I mean, they you know, people do go naked, or they'll have big boogies and events, and there's nude skydiving and stuff. But
Charles, thank you for the call. What other kinds of things does your group do when you get together? I mean, I guess you kind of have to stay in a quarantined area. It's not like you can go to Disneyland or something like that. What events do you have?
Well, you mentioned
Ask a Nudist. Ask a Nudist.
We actually do go to Disneyland. We actually don't get nude there, but we do clothing optional and clothing required events both. I mean, we just like to get together and have fun. So we go to Disneyland, we go hiking, we go backpacking, we go to natural hot springs, we go skydiving. I mean, it's if we can get naked, we will, but if the opportunity isn't there for it, we won't.
All right, be honest. Now, I want you to be honest. I've been kidding around a lot, but I want you to be honest.
You're a handsome man. Is that what you're asking?
That's not what I'm asking. Right. How does Lindsay rate in the attractive world of nudists? Is she number one by far
of the entire earth?
Yes.
Why are you putting him in this position next to me? This is not fair.
Because I'm not buying it. I think you're a ringer.
Well, let me, speaking generally, because I think it's unfair to get in that discussion as far as the nudists go, but in general, I think Lindsay's an attractive person. She has a wonderful personality.
Well, right? No doubt. So, you know. That's a given. I'm asking how she compares to the other nudists.
She's the hottest nudist in your group, right, Jake?
I'd prefer not to answer it that way. I would say Lindsay stands out. I mean, you know, she's good. She's attractive. But we have a lot of people of all stripes in the group who are wonderful in their own right for different reasons, you know.
So there are ugly chicks, too, is what you're saying, if we count.
I'm sure it's the same percentage that if you went to any organization, you would find the same percentage.
Correct.
Of, yeah,
you know, well, so let me answer that, actually.
Regular.
I think, on the whole, our group is more attractive than the average than the population, if for no other reason than we're fantastic people, so we sort of lift ourselves above the morass of general human society. You know? If I can say something so bad that
honestly,
way.
Honestly, I can see that.
We're out of time. I am so happy, Jake, that you got in touch with us. This was a great idea, and I'm sure it's got a lot of people thinking about nudism today, and they ordinarily would not have been. The website, again, is vitanudawest.org. You can check it out and find out what they've got going on. 18 to 35. Is there any, did it cost anything to get in, by the way? I forgot to ask that.
No, any of our events, you know, beach, any of those places is free. But, I mean, if you go to a resort, sometimes they have a $10 or $20 gate fee, you know.
Sure.
But it's reasonable, and you can camp.
Yeah, a couple things being real fast. So vitanudawest.org. We also have facebook.com/VNWest. And then a friend of ours just put together a website called askanudist.com. So you're welcome to go there and some questions. She's fantastic, so give that a try.
Is there a picture of the temp Lindsay on there or no?
Lindsay's around. I don't know if she's on that website. But
yeah, how about that?
She's out there.
Thank you guys for coming in. We enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Come on, let's get back to what's important.
Yes, please.
Oh, for God's sakes, we haven't heard Local H before? Come on! You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show here on a Thursday. UFC President Dana White joins us coming up in about 10 minutes or so. First, though, Ralph has gone back to the archives, unfortunately, and you are playing tape from me, Bean, from what, the mid-80s,
1984,
Ralph?
Sir.
Wow.
On WPGC!
This should not be allowed to exist.
This was Bean back in the day. This was how talented this young disc jockey was. So talented that other stations started to clamor for his...
For services?
For his services, yeah.
Hey, that guy that did that thing about that phone number, we got to get him.
Played a lot of stuff earlier. We've got much more to go. This is Bean warning the folks who are, heading home on their drive.
If you are going to or fro tonight, please slow down a little bit. Please put on those headlights.
Wow.
Thanks for reminding me I need headlights when I'm driving at night.
Bean is a gangster and he's trying to get people killed.
Hey, if you're going to and fro,
he said to
who goes to and fro?
Nobody does, but who loves that kind of talk more
no
than
No one's
Bean.
Gone to and fro since 1860.
You know
this. Last year someone went to and fro.
It's 1860s Bean. You know that. You
this
love
date might be from 1860 for all I know. You may have heard Bean there playing Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Bean coming out of a Michael Jackson.
Daddy by PGC. Better run out and buy yourself another copy of Thriller, because it looks like we're not going to be seeing those songs live on the concert stage this year, huh? There's Mikey at 6:35, and this is Bean.
Nike.
Mikey.
Better go buy another one.
Because he's not in concert.
You already have
so
one.
So play the new one and act as if it's a concert.
But since you can't see a concert, maybe you should buy another of the exact same one.
What was that, Payola? Were you on
The teat?
The teat, exactly.
Why would you need another copy of the album?
I have no idea, just because he's not in concert. Why would you have to buy two album copies?
Go buy another one of the exact same thing.
Because it's not in concert.
You're not going to be in concert.
That's Mikey.
That makes no sense.
It is Mikey, too. That's... You want to hear some of Bean's humor, his patented humor?
That wasn't it?
Oh, no. This is a clever, clever joke.
Is it cheese?
Oh.
Cheeserific?
It's Limburger.
95 PGC is WPGC FM Morningside. Heard on more radios than any other household appliance.
Oh. It's heard on more radios than any other household appliance.
Where's the outrage there?
See, because it's not, you can't get that
you
on
think
your
he's
going to
say heard on more radios than any other station because right. No, it's heard on more radios than any other household appliance.
Right.
You don't hear it on your blender.
You go to your blender, you can try and find it.
You don't hear it on your waffle iron.
Not there.
You hear it on your radio. It's where you pick up WPGC. Hello?
Wow. I don't know what you want me to say. There's no defense. Look.
That's correct.
I'm as horrified as you guys are.
You should be more horrified.
Bean loves live commercials.
More than life
I
itself.
Do love live commercials. That's
really
true.
Weird. Like
the rest of the radio population, as I know it, hates having to do these live reads.
Everyone does. And the day I met Bean, he told me if I could get my perfect job, it would just be reading commercials.
Commercial copy.
What are you talking about?
Now I know why.
Because, it takes a tough.
Sorry, what?
Now I know why Bean loves the live reads, because he can take the live read and then transform it into some magical comedy.
It takes a tough man to make a tender roaster. Purdue, all giant supermarkets of fresh Purdue Prime breasts, drumsticks, and thighs on sale. Why not stop today and buy some? I want to know if Frank Purdue looked like a chicken before he took over the company, or is it because he hangs around him a lot? Is that what did it? The world may never know.
He makes it sound like porn, too.
It does. Yeah.
It's that, creepy
bee. It wasn't creepy. It's young
it
creepy bee.
That was young creepy bee.
I was impressed. Look, I hate this, but I was impressed that I wasn't making any kind of a boob joke. I was just making jokes about the guy who ran the company looking like a chicken.
You did it with your voice.
Breast, thighs. Let's hear I'm Bean.
Let's hear I'm Bean again.
It takes a tough man to make a tender roaster. Purdue, all giant supermarkets of fresh Purdue Prime breasts, drumsticks, and thighs on sale. Why not stop today and buy some? I want to know if Frank Purdue looked like a chicken before he took over the company, or is it because he hangs around him a lot? Is that what did it? Yeah. The world may never know.
LMV.
The world doesn't care, but they may never know.
That was
Frank
creepy,
Purdue.
You don't think I feel bad?
Not bad enough.
All right, we are out of time.
No,
we're
not.
We are. We
listen
have more.
To this
one
next
more,
break.
More.
We have
okay.
more.
This
freaking
has to
unbelievable.
Be the
last. We have 24.73 seconds, and we're going to air all of it.
This is insane, even for 1984 standards.
Okay.
You know, Bean loves to make the antique references.
Oh, he's 1860s Bean.
Yeah. This one, even in 84, was old by 84 standards.
Wow.
You're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe it.
Here's Bean. 95 PGC.
Good evening.
Is this Alfred Hitchcock calling?
Is it Alfred Hitchcock?
Well, the way you said, good evening.
No.
I thought maybe you were back from the grave. Well, go ahead then, Alfred.
I thought maybe you could...
Whoa. Yeah, she didn't have any idea what you were even talking about.
Alfred Hitchcock reference from a 1950s TV show.
To a girl who was 17?
Right. She's like, Alfred Hitchcock? She doesn't even know who that is.
I thought the way you said good evening.
The way you said good evening.
Maybe he'd come back from the dead.
I'm Bean.
I'm telling you, he hung up his headphones and he went, yes!
Yes, I finally worked in that Hitchcock gag I've been
nailed
working
it.
On.
Did we air check that? Yes!
Lastly, want to hear this?
Yep.
Bean, it's self-explanatory.
So I'm really sad.
Oh, how old are you?
I am 24.
You're 24, you're going to be married
almost
soon.
Almost over the hill.
Just about. It's a good thing you tied down a man or you'd end up a spinster.
It's the truth.
Same guy. Same guy today. Just slamming the women. Just you're an old lady. Yeah, you found yourself a man. I can't believe it. Just still slamming the ladies.
I hear that every week from him.
I'm taken with the word spinster, though. I think we're back to the 1860s Bean.
That guy does radio from a covered wagon.